Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and this is Todd Adkins.
I'm caffeinating as we speak, Daniel.
Yeah, and if this was a vodcast or a video podcast, it totally would have been brought to you by Rockstar, because that was a great shot of you drinking that, Todd.
I just kicked back while he was doing that. I tried to drink the entire time that you were speaking.
Drink Rockstar.
Yeah. Just well, to clarify. I started out the day with Nespresso. That would be who would also sponsor any podcast I would do. And it just is not kicking. I flew in from Austin last night, and so it's a slow start to the day. But my brain is working. So I'm excited to answer some questions today.
Well, that's good. That's good. Well, today's question.
They're like, I'm skipping to the next one.
Let's just keep on going. Okay. So today I'm going to share with you a comment that was sent in on Twitter.
Okay.
Now, typically we will answer questions, and if you haven't submitted a question,
what's wrong with you?
I know. It's episode 428. Pause. Just pause right now. Just pause. Stop listening. Go to speakpipe.com/newchurches on your mobile device. Speakpipe.com/newchurches on your mobile device. Send in a voicemail. Send in a question. We would love to answer. It doesn't cost you a thing. It's just a way for us to help you in your particular context. So be sure to do that if you haven't yet done so. But I submitted a question, a ton of responses came in. By now, it's been a couple months where I sent this in, and I've been wanting to highlight a few of these here and there. And if you've been listening the last few episodes, you've heard us address some of these. But on Twitter, I asked, when it comes to leading your church, what keeps you up at night? And this is what this one particular individual said. All right. Now, obviously, I'm not reading all the comments that came in on Twitter, because Twitter can be like that. Sometimes you have those. Todd, you need to create a quadrant in terms of how you need to respond in the Twitterverse, depending on the person that submits it in.
That might need to be a non-box.
Yes. Yeah. But this one was particularly good. So here it is. The future. Okay, so when it comes to leading your church, what keeps you up at night?
In the future, year 2000.
The future and how God will provide needed future leaders and funds. Okay, the future. This is what keeps this individual up at night. The future and how God will provide needed future leaders and funds. And here's the reason, Todd, and I'll throw this back at you because you're a leadership development guy. The reason I wanted to talk about this is because I feel like so many churches run on hopium, right? I mean, it's like a prayer. It's, man, we are growing. What are we going to do to pay everyone? Or we're growing and we don't have enough leaders. Or we can't grow because we don't have enough funds and we don't have enough leaders. And they go directly to prayer. Now, yes, this week at the time of recording, my church here has a 24/7 prayer. And you need to be praying. You need to be saturating your ministry in prayer and praying for impact on your city and to create that culture of generosity and for people to rise up. Yes, we have to do that. That's the foundation, but it can't stop there, right? It can't stop there. So what are some of your thoughts, Todd?
Man, okay, so like anything, it seems like in leadership or church life, there's a delicate balance here, because, you know, one of the things I learned from my dad, who I think exhibited this really well, was the whole idea of pray like it depends all on God. I mean, you are just tilling the ground when it comes, the blood soaked ground below the cross, praying, tilling that. And then at the same time, recognizing that you need to rise up and go till ground yourself. So he was like a pray like it depends on God and act like it all depends on you. So it was, now I have sowed the seeds in prayer on the blood-soaked ground of Christ, and I'm going to go work like a dog to make it happen. And I mean, I've never seen anybody that had that balance better than my dad. And so I would say that's it. It does, like, if this is keeping you up at night, you know, that's a great opportunity to pray about it. And then the next day, it's get up and go make that happen. I mean, the problem that your prayer is not an excuse not to plan.
Yeah, that's good.
And prayer is not an excuse not to produce. And I just need one more pee, and I think we got a quarter. sorry. But it is, and that's a humility. That's a humbleness. That's not hubris. It's not hubris to say, oh, I'm going to plan and I'm going to produce. No, because I have already done the real cultivation of prayer.
Present, Todd. Present. That's your fourth. Pray, plan, produce, present. Boom.
I'm not preaching a sermon here. No, I need an X and Y axis, Daniel. Come on. I need a whiteboard. We need to make this a video podcast.
We could have just stopped at three. So,
true. All right.
So I love that. I love that. Pray. During the night, pray. Pray as if it depends on God. And what was that? How'd you put it?
Pray like it all depends on God, because it does.
Yeah.
You're not going to do anything. But then you as a steward, as a shepherd, you pray for your congregation, like, and you pray for your church and the future of your church like it's going out of style. And as a steward, you get out there and produce and you run hard after it. And if you do both those things well, I do think there will be fruit on this side of heaven. If not, it's at least going to be on the other side. But I think you'll see that here.
Yeah, that's really good. Hey, so let's just take a quick break, hear a word from our sponsor, and then I'll tell you a little bit about what we're doing at our church. Every church must be equipped to respond well in the initial stages of learning about instances of sexual, physical, or emotional abuse. That's why the Southern Baptist Convention, Lifeway, and the ERLC partnered together to create Becoming a Church That Cares Well for the Abused. This training curriculum of a handbook and 13 videos brings together top experts from various fields to help volunteers and leaders understand and implement the best practices for handling the variety of abuse scenarios at a church, school, or ministry. You can access this free training at churchcares.com. Once again, that's churchcares.com. All right, so Todd, as most of our listeners know, I moved back to Canada and I'm back at my previous church, Beulah Alliance Church, leading the church to, our vision is to reach 1% of Greater Edmonton for Christ. So it's a vision built on evangelism, on multiplication. We just launched our campus, one of our campuses, into a permanent building. I am in the midst of working with our next campus pastor to launch the next one. And so we're on this path toward multiplication and toward multiplying churches here in Edmonton. So when I think about this question, I mean, future leaders and funds, we have a lot of great leaders at Beulah. And we have great funds. I mean, our church is incredibly generous, but that is for today. And that is to sustain the ministry for today. If we want to multiply not just another campus, but another campus after that and continue to both plant sites and churches, both in Edmonton and outside of Edmonton, we need more leaders and we need more funds. So here's what I'm doing. I'm working with our team, and this next year we're focusing a lot on developing this culture of equipping. Everything that Todd and I have taught in Leadership Pipeline, I mean, the very first exercise we do is we measure how much of an equipper you are and how much of a doer you are. So that's the number one priority for me right now in and through my staff. Yes, need to build the trust. We need to build the trust both within our staff and in our core leaders. We need to appreciate them. But how do we create it so that all of our staff and all of our key leaders don't see themselves as doers of the ministry, but equippers of the ministry, right? So that first and foremost is that culture change that needs to happen. Eric Geiger and Kevin Peck in their book Designed to Lead talk about conviction, culture, constructs. So you need to create that culture toward developing equippers. You need to have that biblical conviction as to why it's so important, but you also need constructs, right? You need constructs to develop leaders that then not only lead themselves, but know how to lead others. And after leading others, they know how to lead leaders. And then they also know how to lead teams and continue to go up the leadership pipeline in that way. So first and foremost, we need to do that. But on the funds side of thing, here's what you can begin doing in your preaching. Don't just wait until you need a lot of money and do a capital campaign, right? That's old school thinking. What you need to do is create a culture of generosity in your church where you feel comfortable talking about this generous lifestyle, how you are being generous, and not just in your finances, but you have to talk about finances, right? And every time you do offering, right, talk about generosity and talk about it like it's super, like it's normal. I mean, everyone is used to being pitched, and this is not a pitch that you need to do to your church. But if you feel uncomfortable about talking about finances and about giving in a Sunday service or as you're talking to your key leaders, they're going to sense that. They're going to sense that everyone's used to hearing it. So how does it look like for you to be comfortable in talking about, hey, this is where, church, you have been so generous. This is where your funds have been going. And if as you continue to pour out your generosity, this is the type of ministry that we can do and that we can do together, that we can be a part of what God is doing. So all right, how do you normalize the conversation around both leadership and also funds?
Every week, two things are happening in your congregation. They're opening up their mailbox and they're getting an ask from a parachurch ministry of some type that has an amazing mission. And then when they go online, they're also getting inundated with ads and great stories. Mm-hmm. You cannot be bashful about funding because there are plenty of other people who are asking all the time. Mm-hmm. You have the unique opportunity to personalize that in a way that no algorithm or ad or, you know, slick marketing guy can, because you have the opportunity Sunday after Sunday to share what God is doing in and through your church. And mm-hmm. Always tying that back in, not always making a direct ask for money, but always reminding people of that. Here's the thing. With leaders and volunteers and just the average congregant, we need to share that you have two opportunities to leave legacy in this world. One is fruit and one is finances. My grandmother, who I've talked about on the podcast before, had nothing from a financial perspective, and the inheritance I received is not a stock or bond that will fall by the day. It is the fruit of her life, the fruit that she poured into, you know, our family members and my dad, but also to me. I am a result of good and godly people in churches who were not pastors. Those are the people that made the biggest impact on my life. It wasn't pastors. I'm their fruit. Now, also, there are plenty of people in the churches that I grew up in that financially, they have left a legacy. They have left a legacy for generations to come. And we now have the largest wealth transfer in this generation coming up. The boomers, when they pass, that will be the largest wealth transfer in the history, probably the planet. And so there's an opportunity there that you don't need to be bashful about either. And you need to say, okay, hey, you have two opportunities to leave a legacy in this world. And that is through the fruit, and that is through finances to fund the kingdom. Because the reality is people give differently these days. The younger generation that comes along is going to not necessarily give 10% the way a generation before them did. What they're going to do, to your church anyway, they're still going to give 10%. They may give more than that, but it's going to be to, you know, the guy that was in their small group that's now in the mission field. It's going to be to Smile Train or Voice of the Martyrs or whoever has very good causes, but you're now, you can't count on having the biggest slice of their giving because they see it all as ministry. So take advantage of really from a generational perspective. I'm not saying, you know, hey, let's set up our churches to run on endowments. But what I am saying is there's a unique opportunity that's coming in the next decade or two that you had better be aware of. And, you know, ever since the Reformation, the Protestant church has, the further you are removed from that, the more you want to operate on a cash basis. But the time is coming when, you know, we're going to need to say, okay, wow, it's really good that we have this because, you know, there was this financial crisis or there was this thing and we didn't have to disrupt the ministry for that.
Yeah, that's huge.
Sorry to extend this to a almost two-part podcast.
No, I'm glad you talked about the wealth transfer. That's fascinating to think about. And sometimes we forget to think in the church planting world and the kind of upstart multiplication world. We forget to think about the importance of wills, the importance of equipping and empowering your church toward that end. Sometimes we only think about that as it relates to more established churches. But honestly, I mean, what does it look like for you to cast vision to your church and be like, hey, what kind of legacy do you want to be remembered for? For buying your kid a Tesla or for being a part of planting another church or starting another campus or for, you know, buying thousands of people materials, the opportunities, and thus the subsequent opportunity for them to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? What do you want? What is an eternal marker and what is a temporary one? And for you to boldly, unashamedly bring that before your church, because otherwise, hey, if you don't ever talk about it, the normal that everyone is hearing is consumerism, is me, myself, and I, my kingdom, not God's kingdom, right? So you need to boldly preach that, boldly proclaim that, and direct people's finances toward kingdom means rather than themselves, all right? Well, thanks again for listening in. We do appreciate it. Be sure to leave a question in if you haven't yet done so, and we will catch you next time.